I want to thank Sylvia for this beautiful lay this morning. The problem is it doesn't go well with microphones. And I know the question is, are you able to hear me? We had a little problem last week, and I felt very, very bad about it. Pat Kay had a beautiful message. She'd spent a lot of time preparing, and she spoke with her heart, but somehow her voice is so soft, but we love her anyway. I just love that woman to death. She is just so precious. They're on the mainland right now visiting their family. My heart is overflowing with happiness because Serena sang the perfect song with the message I wanted. Thank you, Serena. Her husband Lloyd is here, and her mother and one of her daughters. And Pastor and I love those people. I don't know how many times we've been in their home praying, blessing, children, houses, you name it. What a thrill it is to have Serena here today. Now, Lloyd, he could have stayed home. Because you know what he did? He made me cry. Yep. When we have those sweet memories and we share them, the tears flow. Thank you, Lloyd. I love you anyway. I want to thank my church family here. Actually, I never have moved my membership over here. I'm sorry, I'm still in Waimanalo. But I still consider you my church family. I look around and I don't even feel the fear of speaking because I'm among friends and family. If you can't hear me, you'll say, "Hey, Joy, louder." But somehow I feel like my voice is getting clear back to the dining room. So I just pray that as I'm speaking to you today, it's on my heart, things that I have thought about, wanted to share. I share on an individual basis many times, but I want to share with you here today. Do you know, you ask yourself, how does a speaker choose a topic? Guess what? This is the last day of the year. Wouldn't you expect me to have some ideas on resolutions and what we're going to do next year? Or maybe, you know, a couple weeks ago I did Sabbath school when almost nobody was here. I did a special on Hawaiian influence in the Seventh-day Adventist Church here on the islands. And of course, it was all about Richard. And you guys that weren't here, you missed it. But somebody said to me afterwards, because I ran out of time, which I'm going to do again today because I see 11:45 already. Somebody said, have part two. Now, maybe I should do part two. But I'm not going to do it because I have something else I want to talk about. Now, I titled my talk, No Condemnation, but really what I want to talk about is be prepared. You see this little scrap of paper? My husband's handwriting. X is coming soon. That means Christ is coming soon. And he gives some more notes, and down at the bottom, what to do, accept him, know him, be a sheep, not a goat. He preached a sermon from this. But what inspired him? In the newspaper, 8 compelling reasons why Christ is coming very, very soon. And when was this written? Sacramento Bee newspaper, January 29, 1997. And here we are, still here. But do you know what the next subtitle is? How to be prepared for history's greatest event. Now, we've had a lot of that talk in the last few weeks about the Mayan and the world coming to an end and that kind of thing. That was a long time ago. This was written. So my talk is, how do we get prepared for whatever event, whether it's we're going to die because Christ is coming very soon when we die. What is it? The last breath? The next thing, like someone said today? We wake up and we see Jesus. That's when Christ comes, when we die. We're done. Finished. Fine. Pow. I can still speak Hawaiian a little bit. A few years ago, my oldest son, whose name is John, asked me this question. Now, you have to understand that I did not become a born-again Christian. Marion and I went to school together at Upper Columbia Academy, but I didn't become a born-again Christian until I was 37 years old. So I had a lot of time to make a lot of mistakes, and I'm not going to go into that. That's another day. But, you know, he says, Mom, I have this question. You know, when you go to the ball game and you look in the stadium, you see some guy holding up a sign, John 3:16. What does that mean? How would you feel as a mother if your son asked you that? I mean, what a failure not bringing Christ to my children when they were little. He was 16 when I came back in the church. And you know how kids are at 16. They don't want to attend church at all. So my heart sank, but I asked God to forgive me. And 1 John 1:9 says, what does it say? You all know it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us for our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Needless to say, I had to ask God for a lot of forgiveness in my life. So we had a good discussion on John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save it. And verse 18 says, there is no judgment awaiting those who trust him. Get that word, trust. But those who do not trust him have already been judged for not believing in the only Son of God. Now, I know right here in this congregation, there are people at different stages of their life. There's some of us that have been in the church a long time. There's some of us that are new Seventh-day Adventists. There are some that have not made a decision. Maybe they're a Christian from another church. But as we look at the seriousness of life, we all need to make some kind of decision for Christ. And I think Johnny said it very well. So what does it mean to be prepared? To learn to trust God in every area of life. Now, recently I heard a sermon on this very thing, being prepared. And I was sort of shocked because I figured I'd hear a whole list of things to do and not to do. You know them. Oh, you gotta go witnessing. You gotta do ingathering. We used to do that. I used to love it. Clean up your act. Give more money to the church so we can evangelize. Work harder. You've heard all of those things. Spend more time at church. Instead, this pastor used the story of Luke 18. And if you can remember that, the widow and the judge. And I had to go back and read that twice because the judge did not even fear God, didn't know God. But this woman came asking and begging and begging and begging to be treated fairly. And finally, the judge just got sick and tired of it and says, okay, all right. I'll help you. I'll do what is right. And then Jesus says, when he's telling the parable, won't God protect his chosen ones who pray to him day and night? Won't he be concerned for them? He will surely hurry and help them. But when the Son of Man comes, the second coming of Jesus, will he find on this earth anyone with faith? Now that's sort of a scary, I've heard that verse over and over again. It's sort of scary. Will God find any faith? Well, the conclusion this pastor came to was that to be ready for Jesus, we need to watch and pray. Now, you know the parable of the 10 virgins. Five, they were all waiting for Jesus. Five of them didn't have oil and five had oil. What is the oil? The Holy Spirit. So in order to be connected to Jesus, we've got to have that time with him, praying for the Holy Spirit, for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, getting to know God, who he is. And that is a burden I have in my own life and for my children. You know, I have to laugh at myself sometimes. I look at my kids, and as they're growing up, you want them to know all the right things. I used to think, if I could just open up their heads and pour it in there. It doesn't work that way. We have to work at it. We have to be the ones that do this reading and the praying and that. But even in a church, you look at them and you think, they come to church every week. Some of them sleep in church. Some of them stay awake. Some put to work the practical things that happen, and they say, oh, I'm going to put that into practice. Actually, the foolishness of preaching is foolishness. I get up here and I'll say all these words, and as Shakespeare says, words, words, words. Yes, lots of words. But what about the doing? So I wonder if God's going to ask me, Joy, how much time did you spend praying? Now, there was one time in my life when Richard and I first got married, I didn't work. First time I hadn't worked in 35 years. He went to work. I had time. And I had some very precious time with God during that time. So, if we're good to be ready for Jesus coming, what should we do to get intimate with God, to know him, to interact with him? Now, I thank you, Johnny and Everly. That was so precious. And you know, Everly really does talk to Grandpa. I've watched her. And he'll make funny faces and he'll do things and she'll copy him. She just loves Grandpa. And she just thinks he's the funniest. And he could, I have to tell you this. Jennifer and I and Everly went to lunch. And I should have asked him to sing this song he sings. But anyway, we went to lunch, and she is so good to take anywhere. I mean, they take her everywhere. And so on the way home, she was getting restless. And you know, they put these car seats in the back, facing the back. You can't even see the kid's face, which I think is a crime. Whoever thought of that? And I know it's for their safety. But anyway, so she's getting fussy, and Jennifer's saying, trying to talk to her and keep her calm. She says, I know, I will sing Grandpa's song to her. So she started singing, and I don't know it, but it started out, Everly, 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 young, da-da-da-da-da-da. I should have had Johnny sing it while he was up here. But she got quiet immediately. I could not believe it. It was so funny. She knew Grandpa's song. Do you know God's song? What song is he singing to you? That's what I wanted to illustrate. I wanted Johnny to say, hey, because I spend time with Everly, because Everly wants to follow what I do. It's that time we spend together. I've watched it when they're together, and it's so neat. Now the dad has her now, so it's up to him to keep her quiet. But it's been wonderful to watch. A child in the house really, really lightens it up. It's really wonderful. Now, if you suppose if Johnny didn't spend time with her, he just was gone away and came back once in a while, there wouldn't be the same interaction. And that's with us with God. We go away from God, and God wanting us to come spend time with me. Do you know that we are created for God's pleasure? He wants us to be with him. He says, you are in Revelation 4:11, it says, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created everything, and it is for your pleasure that they exist and were created. Isn't that exciting? Do you know that God gets such pleasure when you worship him? And I'm guilty of this. When we sing songs, I don't always think of the words. This morning, because I'm, you know, a little bit on edge here, trying to come up and give it. I'm listening to the words more. But that's what we need to do every day when we come to worship God, is to praise God. That's one thing I like about the praise songs. And you know, a lot of people sort of down them, but I love them because it's all praise to God. It's not, in a little while we're going home. Do you know how many songs are written with I, me in them? That's why I love that number one song. Praise be to God. So here I am spending a lot of time about God, but yet, how do we make the time? We all make excuses for not spending time with God, all of us. Some of us are old and tired, want to sleep late. Some are students, gotta study, don't have time. Young parents, I can empathize with them. The baby keeps them up all night. They don't have time, they're tired. I can empathize with them. How about the professionals? They have all these people calling them all the time. That was one of Richard's, he hated the phone. He hated the phone because it just meant there were problems. So all these things interfere with our life. And I'm asking myself, what excuse do I use? What do you use? And I had the same ones. I was busy. I had to go to work 7:30, get off at 4:30. I had to get up at 5:30 and do all this stuff before I went to work. And I thought, oh boy, if I only had a job where I could set my own schedule. I mean, these departmental men, they got it made. They can set their own schedule. But you know what happens? I got a promotion. I became a departmental person. It was no different, because it has to be a commitment, not just to study your Sabbath school lesson, that is fine, but to spend that personal time with God. And you know, I have to tell you, my mantra is Matthew 6:33. And I get up in the morning and I say to myself, okay, Joy, what are you going to do today? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What does that mean? What does that mean? Will my plans be taken care of? Will everything be done just because I take that hour or so in the morning to spend time with God? You better believe it. Because the things that shouldn't be done won't be done. God will help you to set priorities. And it's so, so important. Do you mean I can't sneak a peek at the email or make some calls? I'll tell you, the minute I open email, I'm in trouble. Facebook, I'm in trouble, because I will spend time on there and I'll get, oh, well, I got to Google this, and I better find out this, and I better answer this. You know the tune. If you're on computer at all, you know how that happens. So you have to set your priorities, pray about it, and then commit to it. For me, it is a stretch. Get into my devotional mode, spend time with God, then I can do whatever God wants me to do. Find out what God wants for you to do. Ask him for wisdom, James 1:5 says. He'll promise to give you wisdom. And everyone is different. Each one of you will have a different priority than me, as far as time of when and that. That's not important. The thing is to ask God, when can I spend time with you? Now, we talk to him all day long, all of us that are God lovers. We talk to him all day long. I have to laugh, and we were in Desert Hot Springs, actually, in Palm Desert. And we were in the Costco parking lot. And I was driving down the main, had gotten gas, was driving the main thing, and there's Main Street, and there's all these sides, you know, the main one here goes out, and then there's these side streets that come like this in the parking lot. Well, I wasn't going very fast, but all of a sudden, a car right in front of me, and I slammed on my brakes. Luckily, I had a rental car and had good brakes. I thought I hit the car, frankly. The car was right there in front of me. My daughter was with me, and she says, Mom, good reflex. I said, no, God. How many times has God kept us? Because we give him credit, and we've been connected to God, and we know he's protecting us, and I can't begin to tell you how many times I've seen God's answers to prayer in my own personal life. And you know, there's times, you know, I could have talked to you about the hard time I've had in the last year. When you need God the most, let me tell you, one day at a time was what I was telling myself. From November of last year till June 7, one day at a time, sweet Jesus. God will give you grace. Now, I have spent some time putting sort of a list person. I put preparing a resource sheet. Now, I was thought about giving it to you with the bulletin, and then I thought, no, all they'll be doing is reading it. So I'm going to have it handed out at the end. The deacons will hand it out. This will be where you can find good devotional material and Bible reading. Bible reading plans on the computer. And the problem is, I know not everyone is computer literate. I know my husband was very illiterate. That's why he depended on me when it came to computers. I tried teaching him. He didn't understand the computer language at all. And I probably was not a very good teacher, so I'll take the blame. But we will have that as you leave the sanctuary. So let me just talk, we're not doing too bad here. I've got two more pages to go. Okay, it's a resource that looks like this, prayer and devotional resources. And the number one that I use all the time is BibleStudyTools.com/Bible. You have all kinds of things. Now, you don't need to write these down because you're going to get it on the sheet. All kinds of things on there. You can get chronological reading plans, classic, New Testament, all mixed up. Oh, there's six or eight tens of these, 10 types of reading plans. Now, I've been doing this for about the last 5 years, and it tells you what to read, what on what day, and you can check it off. You're finished. So if you miss a bunch of them, you can go back and read them another time. Or if you're not legalistic or anal like I am, I try to go back and read them if I've missed them. You can skip them. It's not that big a deal. But it's just a way to encourage us to read the Bible. And you can read it in any translation. My favorite happens to be the New Living Translation because it's in modern language. And there's whole other kinds. There's old-fashioned. There's concordances on there. There's all kinds of things on that website. You have to create an account and go through whatever you do. Anyway, you know all that. Then on, if you go up to the top under Bible study, you can drop down and there's devotionals. Whew, what a resource for devotionals. I love reading it. The daily one for seniors. Sorry, Marion. We've reached that point where we have to say that dirty word, seniors. I guess it's not a dirty word anymore. We're there. We're enjoying life. Been through losses in our life, but it's made us appreciate life even more. And I look around and I see the widows and the widowers here. God is our Father. God is our Mother. God is our all in all. So you can pick the devotionals you like there, and I have a number, but I'm not even going to mention them because there's some for young couples, for marriage, for all kinds of people. Another thing that I've really come to love is the Sabbath School Quarterly online, which is at, and here again, the website's on this sheet. And the reason I like it is because when you do it from the quarterly, you have to have the Bible there and you have to look up all the texts, and I'm lazy. I want to do it fast. So I can click on that scripture and up pops the text and I can read it right there while I'm right. I won't lose context right there in the Sabbath School lesson. Now, one other thing that I've loved is the Loma Linda Church website. And I don't know how many of you have ever watched Randy Roberts, but he is a man of God that preaches wonderful sermons. And they have an art, you can either watch it live. If you, for some reason you can't go to church, you're ill, or have a broken leg or something, can't go to church, you can get it online, but you have to look at the time difference. But they also have the archives where you can look at all the different series he has and pick one out. And it's wonderful. I've done that. Like Friday night, you don't have anything to do. You might want to look at one of those sermons. Sometimes I've even gotten up early and watched it live and then come to church and hear another sermon. Really, you really get a lot of it that way. Okay, now on this website, one more website that I want to mention is the egwhitewritings.org. You can get all of her books on there free, downline, on Kindle, PDF, or MP3. And I called them and asked them, and they guided me through how to do that. But I have the website on here. And you know, the interesting thing, you can get the all of Ellen White's books at Amazon.com for 99 cents. And I you know, everything is blogged, as you well know. You order something, and then underneath it'll tell you, I like it, I don't like it, whatever. Whatever their opinions are. I don't know whether it's good or bad, but under Prophets and Kings, I got a kick out of this. I'm going to read just a little bit of this. This guy says, now he gave a whole bunch why he liked Prophets and Kings, and then he says, I am not an Adventist and did not find that it promoted that church necessarily, but rather found it enlightening for any person who believes in God, or especially those who want to know more about him. She does not promote the book over the Bible. The Bible is God's word, and that is first and foremost, the only true and accurate message. But she does help us understand it better. I highly recommend this book, especially if you read it and the Bible. It will bring you a much greater understanding of God and why he does things. She also has other books that she has written that are good. She wrote them a century ago, and they are as relevant and applicable as today as they were then. Enjoy. Hey, don't even need the call porters. Just go online and you can buy anything online. I tell you, it's amazing. Another thing that I like to do is journal, and I have to tell you, on this thing I'm handing out, I discovered two mistakes. There's probably more. I said, I better get this to Cynthia right away so she can rerun it or do something, and I thought, this way you know I'm human. But the one that I got a kick out of was, I have this acronym, SOAP. Scripture, observation, application, prayer. Under scripture, I put medicate on chosen scripture. And I thought, that's a pretty good medication. Instead of meditating, we'll medicate. So you can laugh at my mistakes. I don't care. I laugh at myself all the time. And I've also put in some notes down there that had to do with books that I enjoyed. And I want everybody to get up and run now. There are five. Let me tell you why I'm giving you these. I have to go back to my notes. The favorite devotional book of Richard and me was My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. I could tell you a whole story about how Richard came to reading that, but that's another day since it's 10 after 12. When he was pastor at Wimanello, we decided we loved that book so much, we bought enough copies for one for each family. But I happen to have five left over. And they will be on the lobby, on the desk out there at the end. So you can rush out and get one if you want, if you don't have it. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible is John 17. Jesus' prayer to his Father. He says, I am also praying for everyone else who will have faith because of what my followers will say about me. I want all of them to be one with each other, just as I am one with you and you are one with me. He's talking to his Father. He and his Father are one, and he wants us to be one with him, as he and his Father are one. Then the people of this world will believe that you sent me. And he also wants us to be one with them. You can read it more clearly. I sort of jumbled it up there, but it's the main thing is God wants us to be one with him. Romans 8:26 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Brothers and sisters, friends, loved ones, young, old, our days and opportunities to live for the Lord and share him with others pass so quickly that we cannot afford to waste any time. It is important that we remember our days are numbered, and life is but a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Time is God's gift to you. So worship him, live for him, and bring others to the saving knowledge of his grace and forgiveness in the days you have left. Live dynamically for Christ today, because tomorrow may not come. Thank you for letting me share with you my heart. As we prepare for Christ's second coming, let's think of creative ways we can help each other and encourage one another to get into the Word, spend time in prayer. Prayer meeting is a good start. We've had some terrific times. But most of all, that personal, quiet time with God. Prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. As each person leaves this sanctuary, may each one be a sanctuary where you will dwell within them. Praise be to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.